My ambition after that trip to the Highlands was simply to see if Tasmania could make a really good single malt whisky.
We don't expect everyone to like these wines, so yes, there's some risk.
Drink more sherry, because that's when you can really educate yourself on what happens in maturation.
The thing is with Australian natives, you put them in a gin, the aftertaste invariably is just bitter and unpalatable.
I think the Irish whisky landscape is going to be wildly different over the next 5 years.
This is the Drinks Adventures podcast. I'm James Atkinson, and this is the show where I speak to some of the world's most exciting producers of beer, wine and spirits, and uncover trends and issues in the drinks industry today.
There's been a groundswell of new Irish whisky brands in recent years, which we explored in late 2022 in a special episode supported by the Irish Whisky Association. Royal Oak Distillery predates many of the newcomers. It was founded in 2012 by the late Augusto Reina of Ilva Serrano, the Italian company that owns renowned liqueur brands Di Serrano and Tia Maria. Located on an 18th century estate in Ireland's ancient east barley growing region, Royal Oak is home of the Busker Irish whisky, which has recently arrived in Australia. In this episode, global brand ambassador Woody Kane will share with you the backstory behind the distillery and some of its signature production attributes that define the Busker. For starters, there's the importance of local grains and the fact that Royal Oak produces all three Irish whisky expressions, malt, grain, and pot still, under the same roof. And then there's the Marsala casks that are a fixture in its barrel store, thanks to parent company Ilva's ownership of Sicilian winery, Canteen Florio. That's all coming up in this special episode of Drinks Adventures, produced in partnership with the Busker Irish Whisky. Well, Woody Kane, thanks so much for joining us on the Drinks Adventures podcast.
Yeah, look, thanks for having me here. I love anywhere I can go and talk Irish whisky, so,
yeah.
So well, it's great to be here.
Welcome to Sydney, pretty much fresh off the plane as well.
Yeah, just got here last night, bleary-eyed, ready for another day today, so it's been fantastic. I mean, you've got the weather to keep people happy, so yeah. Coming from Ireland, I left Ireland in the rain, and I landed here in beautiful sunshine this morning, which is great.
Now, Royal Oak, which is the distillery that produces the Busker brand Irish whisky, founded, I believe, in 2012.
Started around 2012. So I've been involved since the very, very start. We began in 2012, 2013 with the romancing period, meeting a wonderful guy called Augusto Reina, who was head of the Ilva giants, really, because they have so many different brands with them. So you might
Serrano,
be familiar
Tia
with Di Serrano,
Tia Maria,
all
that
of those.
Old name brands.
Exactly.
Just about.
World renowned. So yeah. We met with Augusto Reina, and he had his concept of creating the Irish Godfather. So it was going to be a nice, easy drink, to cocktail drink that he can make at home. So he wanted to pair something with his renowned quality lead Di Serrano, and Irish whiskey was what was on his mind. He found some fantastic, amazing whiskies in Ireland. But the one thing they didn't have, which is what he wanted most, was his ability to stand behind the quality. And he couldn't do that unless he made it himself. So his dream, and our dream, was to create a world-class distillery in Ireland. And Carlow happened to be the place that we chose. It's where I'm from. It's a beautiful place. It's known as the Barley Basket of Ireland. So even as we're there locally, we get all of those local grains in order to create our whisky. So it was the perfect place for it. Royal Oak is just there in County Carlow. It's near a place called Bagnallstown. And it's on 42 acres of pastoral landscape. There's an old house on site from 1755. So there's a really strong, rich heritage. A lot of history in that place. And that leads very well to whisky itself as well, which is steeped in history. Now, we don't have the heritage of being a whisky distillery for so many years, but we're embedded in the history and the heritage that is around that land. And of course, we are the only distillery that produces all three types of whisky under one roof and releases them to the public. So
that's
something special.
I might ask you just to qualify that statement a little bit, because I just on the face of it, I was like, I wouldn't have thought that would have been the case. What is it that you're doing there that's different to anywhere else?
With most of the distilleries, they will usually do two. They'll do, like, even you look at the giants of Midleton, they don't do any single malt down there. Mm-hmm. I believe they're starting to now, but again, it'll take a while before that comes out using their own. So they would use Bushmills, and Bushmills would use Middleton's pot still. So they swap and chop and change. So ours is the only one that actually releases to the public the full experience of Irish whiskey coming from one place. So if you want to experience what Irish whiskey has to offer and you want to see what one place can do with that, Royal Oak Distillery is who does it, and the Buskers where you can taste it.
When Royal Oak was founded, originally it had a joint venture partner, and then that sort of didn't end up working out.
Yep.
Was there always going to be a brand the equivalent of the Busker released by Royal Oak, or if that partnership had have kind of continued, would it have been more focused on Riders Tears? We'll just cover off on that before we move on to where things are at now.
So when we began, I mean, I was working with the Irishman Riders Tears. There are two brands that, that you're thinking of. And I was working with them, and that was the matchup that we had. We wanted to build a distillery. Now, in the future, it was looked upon that there was going to be expressions, of course, coming from the house of Riders Tears or Irishman from the distillery in the future. But there was also always going to be an other whiskey. When we started, we didn't necessarily have the Busker as our name, but we knew we were going to have a line coming from just the distillery as well. And as it transpired, the business idea was separate from where Riders Tears wanted to go, as well as where the distillery wanted to go. So that is why in 2019 they parted ways. So the liquid from the distillery, it's never ever gone into any other brand.
Sure.
It's always been just from the distillery. So then it just came along that we were ready to launch our own whiskey, and that is when the Busker came to life.
I think you guys probably were a little bit ahead of the real resurgence that's occurred in the last few years, because there's a lot of brands on the market that haven't yet got their own spirit of age yet. How do you see things unfolding in the next few years?
As I say, you learn from your past. So we look back, and we see there was at one stage there was about 200 legal distilleries in Ireland. I mean, look, illegally probably a whole lot more, but legally it was recorded about 100 or 200. So over the decimation of the Irish whiskey industry over time, we ended up at one point with two distilleries is all we had.
When was Royal Oak one of the first
new ones? When it came to it, you only had two. Then in the 80s, Cooley opened up. At that point, Kilbeggan had closed down. Cooley sort of opened up then, and then you had three. Then we started to grow. So we were one of that group of first that decided to go down the line of creating a distillery. We look today, and I know there was one point where we just decided to say there are now over 40, because every time you turn around, there's one behind you. So there's between either in construction or planning, there's a lot of distilleries coming up in Ireland. And it's fantastic. It's great to see. So the one great thing about Ireland is we work in a co-opetition, so sort of a cooperation among competitors. So when you're in Ireland, you are actually, you're making your whiskey and you want quality. And we want every place to produce quality. That's what it's about. So when you're outside of Ireland, we're always flying the Irish flag. Like while I'm here, I'm talking about the Busker Irish whiskey from Royal Oak. You know, every Irish whiskey is important, because it is only by working together and keeping that quality as the mantra and bringing fantastic whiskey to the market, all of us will grow and continue to grow. And I think that is what the driving force in Irish whiskey is. People are coming back to Irish whiskey because the quality is there. While in the past we lost our dominance in Irish whiskey, never, never anywhere did we lose it because of quality or because of taste profile. It was always external factors. So now that we're getting bigger again, it's back to that. It's back to people realizing the beautiful quality that we have to offer and a fantastic taste that we get from whiskey, especially Irish whiskey.
And tell us about the brand story. Why the Busker? What's the significance of the name?
Everyone in Ireland has a good connection with music. I mean, Ireland is well known for its music. Busking is a big thing. The reason you do busking is it's to get your voice out there. It's to get the quality that you have out to other people. And if we look back in history, you will find from Ireland many, many buskers who have gone beyond. They have been bold and adventurous enough to go beyond that street where they're performing to the world stage. So you look at, for a minute, you've got Gavin James, who is making some fantastic strides. You've got the likes of Codaline. You've got Danny from The Script. You have Damien Rice, Bono and The Edge from U2 even. They all started off busking. And even today, you find them sometimes busking on the street. It's something you don't lose. It's that offering that you want to give. They weren't happy just there in the street playing music. They wanted a wider audience to let the world see the quality that they had. So that's why they travelled. That's exactly what we want to do with the Busker Irish Whiskey. We know we've got something of fantastic quality, but it's not made in Carlow just for people in Carlow or just for people in Ireland. It has a world stage to perform in. The quality is to be given to other people and let them experience it. Let them find it in places of fun, places of enjoyment. Like I say, it always gathers a crowd, and anytime there's a crowd, we'd love to be there.
Other than, you know, the fact that you're doing everything on site there with the three different types of whiskey, what are the other production nuances that make the Busker unique, do you think?
First of all, local is key. At the very start, when it all started off with these Irish Bunks, when they began, you didn't travel to get anything. You had to have it there to hand. We are blessed to be in what's known as the Barley Basket of Ireland. That's the area we're in. We get the finest land that's there. Beautiful, fertile land. Any agronomist would tell you it's this mix of sand and soil we seem to have around the area that's not found anywhere else. Perfect for the growth of the crops. So we use local. That's one of the key things for us. So all of the barley that we use, for instance, you know, for with our single malt, it's all from, if you put a pin in our distillery and go about 40 kilometres, you'll find it all there. So the beautiful surroundings is 42 acres of pasture landscape. Like the River Barrow flows right by the land. And because of that, we have the natural Barrow aquifer directly under us. And that's where we source our water. So it is the largest underground lake in Leinster. And we are just blessed to be on top of it. So care and attention to the surrounding areas. There are beautiful oak trees on site stretching back over 200 years, which is a fantastic nod to maturation and the barrels that we happen to use, oak barrels. It's a beautiful connection to have those oak trees there. So the place is perfectly situated. It's beautiful. It's just idyllic to make whiskey, and I absolutely love being there. And I could talk about it for hours, but it's not till you stand there and see the vision of what it is. It really brings it home. It's fantastic. So you've got the place, you've got the people, you've got the ingredients that we're going to use. We've also then got the process. We use column distillation and triple distillation. That's what we have. Our column stills are state of the art. We had a 2-column system. We now have a 5-column system. It's one of the most technologically advanced systems in Ireland today. And it allows us to really hone in on the quality of the spirit coming from our columns for our grain whiskey. In the future, if we want a flavour profile, this will be able to help us along with that. So it is really going to be a game changer for us, especially in innovation, which is where it's at really. You know, you've got to be innovative in this game. So that is our column stills. And then when it comes to the triple distillation, we've got our beautiful copper pots, which are there. And the one part, while of course the automation is a big thing and it really helps us, especially when it comes to control of quality, we still have the cut points for the head, heart and tail when it comes from our spirit still. That's still manual. That's still done from the expertise and the craft nature of the distillers themselves. Because we don't want to just have good quality alone. We want best quality.
The barrel program, is there anything unique there in terms of the types of oak that you're working with?
So when it comes to our barrels, if we look at our range, so we've got our single malt and our single pot. We use bourbon casks, and we also use Oloroso sherry casks. So the thing with these is, and this goes for everything all around, there is no cask on site that we haven't visited the distillery it comes from. We've developed relationships in this game, in most games, but in particular in the alcohol business, relationship is key. If you want to be able to trust someone, you've got to have a developed relationship with them. So that is what we do. We tend to focus on the relationship we have before we get these barrels. So when they come over, and now even when they come over, they're still tested for quality. And depending on what we're looking for, there might be one we say, ooh, you know what, we'll get a bunch of these in. They're going to be good for the single malt. We bring them in, we test them out, and we go, do you know what, some of our flavour profile, I'd love to see what that can do with a pot still. So we might change tact and start using that for pot still instead. So it's all about like just keeping an eye on what's coming in, watching the quality of it and matching it to what you want at the very end. Then of course, when it comes to the grain, we use bourbon casks and then Marsala casks. So Marsala is very interesting. The reason why is, I mean, you're going to find some Marsala influenced whiskies on the market. They're all limited edition. They always are. We have an always on the shelf Marsala influenced whiskey in our single grain and also in our blend. The reason we can is because Augusto Reyna, I mentioned earlier, also owns Cantina Florio, which is from 1833, and it is the oldest winery in Sicily, and they make Marsala there. So because of that, we have an always-on delivery of finest, freshest Marsala casks brought straight from Cantina Florio to the grounds of Royal Oak Distillery to use in our grain whiskies. So we get some fantastic notes coming from that, because like Marsala is a fortified wine. So you're looking at beautiful grape notes coming in from there, nice sweetness being delivered. Now, we do not leave it in for years and years and years and years. So I think at the moment, the longest we've gone is about 9 months. The thing about Marsala, it's difficult to work with because the sweetness can impart a bit too much. So you've got to be very careful when you're using it. If you go over, it'll become sickly sweet. So you've got to be careful to get that balance just right. So when it comes to our single, our grain is sweet lead. It's got some fantastic, beautiful sweet notes in there. Vanilla, caramel, raisins. You get that sweetness in there. And even on the taste profile, you get like a little bit of dried fruit at the back. So it's unusual. Really good. If you were a bourbon drinker, this is right up your street. This really lends so well to that. So while, yes, 100%, it's Irish whiskey, it goes beyond the category. It's got some beautiful notes in there that any bourbon drinker would be very happy to enjoy. When it comes to our malt, it's fruit-led. You get quite lovely fruit notes in here. Like for me, apple and pear on the nose is just so amazing. That malt notes in there really comes to fruition as well. And then finishes off with some luscious fruit again. So it's fantastic for that. Again, both of those driving from your bourbon and also your Oloroso sherry and the spirit, all combining together to create just a wonderful, wonderful liquid. Then our pot still is a distinctive characteristic of Ireland, so it brings a little bit of spice to it. So there's unmalted barley in the mix here.
How much?
So with us, it's about 50-50.
Yeah,
so
okay.
Malted, yeah. Unmalted. And with that, what you have is you've got this beautiful oil note feel around the mouth, and of course that spice is lead as well. But with this one, it's very arterial. So you're going to find, for me, like dates, figs, sort of the darker side of the fruits coming to play there. I get a little bit of leather in there as well. I find, especially when it comes to the pot still on the nose, what I love getting is that chocolate orange note. And the reason I love that is because you get a lot of people who say all of the influence from whiskey comes from the barrel. Okay, a lot of people have often heard it. And what I love is the pot still having that chocolate orange, because when I'm making pot still spirit at the distillery and I open the door to the still room, I get that orange chocolate note coming from the spirit alone. It's there filling the room. And I love finding it here, the transition of even with the maturation, it's still there. Mm-hmm. And that's wonderful. I absolutely love it. It's just something that tells me, you know what? Yeah, the barrel is saying it's evident, but that spirit is saying hello as well. You know, it's always good to have that. Then the combination of that together, what you find with the blend, you find all of that. You get the sweetness in there, you get some fruit notes, and you get some spices. Not spicy, but baking spices coming from the pot still really coming in here as well. Now, it's not a case of just gathering the bottles, pouring them into one bottle and saying, there you go, that's a blend. So our blend is created by the makeup of the building blocks of our grain, malt and pot. Mm. So for instance, you might have like a single malt which has had full maturation of bourbon cask, maybe single malt full maturation in an Oloroso sherry cask, or you would have one that started off in a bourbon finished in an Oloroso. So the three of those casks might come into play when you're creating this. And the same goes for our pot still. And then of course you have the influence
of the
Marsala.
You're working with many more component whiskies rather than just the finished item of those three whiskies.
Exactly. Yeah. And it is a case of getting that blend that is perfectly balanced between the three of those singles that we offer.
Now, I think these whiskies were launched in the US and possibly some other markets in 2020. Has it sort of been the pandemic that's meant that there's been a bit of a delay before we've seen them in Australia?
Of course. When we started, we wanted to release them. We looked into the marketplace, and as you know yourself and everywhere, was the same. It was all closed down, so it was very hard to get it out there. So we looked and we saw, well, look, you know, in the US they were more open, so that's where we started. So we're represented in all 50 states in the US at this stage. We got fantastic feedback. They really loved it, and it's been growing ever since.
And was there anything in particular that attracted you to the Australian market? I've seen some pretty impressive growth statistics for Irish whiskey in recent years.
You've got fantastic hospitality here, just like Irish. I mean, I go around the world. When I landed here, I just felt, I'm home. You know, it's just the Australian nature, the people. It feels like Ireland, you know. I know there's a lot of Irish over here. Irish over here. But even beyond that, you just get that same hospitality, that same friendliness when you land here as you would if you landed in Ireland. And that's just beautiful to see. And you're the same as us. You know what? You like a drink, you like having fun. You know, and that's what this is all about.
What are some of the signature serves for the Busker? Because you mentioned the Godfather cocktail was an important one in the origins of the distillery.
So the Godfather was the concept, the dream that Augusto Reyna had and came to a reality, and the fruition of it is fantastic. So if you take the Busker blend, for instance, and you put it in two parts blend, one part Di Serrano over ice, that's it. A lazy man's old fashioned.
Yeah.
It's so easy to make. And in actual fact, as I'm traveling around, some places I go into, they don't do cocktails because they're a busy bar. They don't have time to stop, shake, do anything like that. So they say, no, we just don't do cocktails. So I said, I usually go, okay, right, we've had a training in the Busker. Let me make you a cocktail now. And I will literally pour in the Busker, pour in the Di Serrano, pass it to them, and they'll taste it and they go, wow. And a lot of those places now have the Irish Godfather on the menu, because it's so easy to make, it's delicious to taste, and it's just something that you can have nice and quick, and your customer is definitely going to be happy with it. So that's one of the things. Then, of course, you got your long drinks. So, I mean, it works perfect. I mean, the blend really works well with ginger ale. It works great. We mix it with Coke. One thing that we use as a strategy is like Paloma, so Busker Paloma, so pink grapefruit soda. So one part, and then maybe three parts on your pink grapefruit soda. You slice grapefruit in the top or a little bit of mint, whichever it is that you like better. You've got a fantastic drink. And what's great is, of course, in Ireland, we might not have as much sun as you do, but when we do, it's a fantastic in the sun. And so it would work really well for Australia, you know. That's just your long drinks. Then, of course, when it comes to the mixability, it is unbelievable. I'm finding top mixologists coming back to me asking questions around it because they're discovering that it really lends very, very well to your classic cocktails. They have said to me that usually Irish whiskey blends don't carry enough character to be able to stand out in a classic cocktail. Now, I'm not a mixologist. I always made my classic cocktails, if I was making them, with Irish whiskey all the time. But they're discovering that the Busker has. It has that characteristic that they're looking for. So while they're using it in classic cocktails, they're also coming up with some crazy cocktails as well, because it is for playing with, you know, and it is the creative side, and it really lends very well to it.
And is there a small batch program that we're going to see? As you said earlier, too early for age statements and the like, but are we going to see an evolution of the products as we move forward?
Yeah. So, look, our distillery, it's a playground, you know, as every distillery should be. And we are working on many different innovation programs. End of this year, we're going to have a small batch in the pot still. And next year, we're looking at doing a small batch in the grain and also the malt. We have some single cask ideas that we're going to work on as well. We are playing with different woods. We are also looking, of course, at aged. Like I always say, I mean, if somebody wants a 12-year-old whiskey, you got to wait 12 years. So, you know, we've got stuff stored away just for that reason. So there's quite a lot that we're planning, quite a lot of different things. It's Niall and Caroline, and the two of them are there. They lock themselves in the room and you don't know what they're doing, but my God, it's creative and it's good, and it will come to fruition as time goes on. But again, it's whiskey. One of the biggest ingredients in whiskey is time. So while focus now is on our core range, the four that we have released, but yes, we have much more coming out in the future. So I'd say keep an ear out, and you'll hear quite a lot coming from the Busker Irish Whiskey.
Well, Woody, I reckon that's a pretty good note to finish on. So thanks so much for taking the time to sit down with me, and yeah, really enjoyed learning about the Busker and Royal Oak.
Great. Look, absolutely no problem whatsoever. It was great to get the chance to come and talk to you and to your listeners out there.